The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Zelda Informer Podcast. Bum, 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 bum.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Zelda Informer Podcast. My name is Adam, as always. Thank you so much for joining us. This week's opening theme, as always, is brought to us by Brandon and Company, and this week's closing theme is brought to us by Jeesh. You can find a link to Jeesh down below, as well as my Twitter and the Twitters of most people that are on this week's episode. If you have any of your own fan topics, theme song submissions, or cover art, please send this to us at ZeldaInformerPodcast@gmail.com. Once again, that's ZeldaInformerPodcast@gmail.com. Before we get into who's on this week, let's talk what's happened this past week. This week, South by Southwest made an award ceremony with the same category five times over. We talk about Zelda and Gabe Newell polls in Oprah. Once again, my name is Adam. I didn't slur for the past 5 minutes of my life. And this week, I'm happily joined by...
Hi, it's Jeff, and I'm tired, and I'm here, and I'm mostly happy about it, so take it or leave it. And by that I mean don't stop listening. Please listen. Please keep listening.
If you don't listen, Jeff dies. I mean, what?
What? That's just a bit rude there, Adam. I mean...
It's not rude if it's true.
I think you mean to say, hi, my name is Luke.
Hello, I'm Luke. I'm back after a bit of a break from everything. I went to the Nether Realm and got...
Or as we like to call it, Chris's box.
Yeah. I sort of, you know, went into the Dark Void and never returned until Adam did the 6 summoning rituals, which included killing a goat. And a couple of other insane things. And now I'm back. So, hello, I'm Luke.
Is killing a goat one of the insane things, or is that just, like, the least insane thing on the list?
That's the least insane thing on the list.
Okay, just making sure.
The rest of them aren't quite suitable for the podcast, so we're not going to go into it.
Okay. And last but not least, I'm happily joined by...
Hello, my name is Lyra, spelled L-Y-R-A, like the constellation or the little girl in the golden compass. I've never been on with a podcast before, but my favorite Zelda game is Ocarina of Time, and my least favorite one is Hyrule Warriors or whatever that horseplay is. So, I'm really happy to be.
You know, usually we ask people at some point in the episode, but you're just like, you know what? I'm just gonna do it right out of the gate. I'm gonna let people know.
Nope.
This is what I like.
Sucks.
This is what I don't like.
I hate it. Go away. But I'm very happy to be here.
Glad to have you with us. I've wanted to have you on for a long time now.
Me too. Oh man.
A lot of the news came in over the past couple of hours. At least for us. Most of it on Wednesday, which is when we record this podcast.
But you are in the future.
Actually, no, this is in the past.
No, they're in the future.
Right.
Have you got hoverboards yet? I really want hoverboards.
Anyway. Anyway.
Stop with your horseplay.
South by Southwest released its list of award ceremony, like categories, and... Colin isn't here this week, but he says, "It to quote him, my opinions on the matter are if you stay up really late at night and open your window, you'll hear me screeching into the ether." It's funny because at least 5 of these categories are the same, like not even just like similar, like they're all art categories. Not that they all just have like something to do with art, but they're all the same art category. Excellence in art, excellence in animation, excellence in technical achievement, excellence in visual achievement, excellence in design. Those all sound exactly the freaking same.
Yeah, pretty
well,
much.
I feel like that's when you go to an art gallery and you see like black on black and they're like, wow, it's so artistic, and you're like, it's black, and they're like,
right,
is it? But really it's, though,
it's the comparison between most outstanding artistic style, most outstanding animation effects and graphics, most well-designed and stunning visuals, best overall design concept, and best execution. Like, how are those different? How are those different at all? And I'm speaking from this as like an artist's perspective. These all sound like the same category.
They do. I mean, yeah, I don't know enough about the awards, but just by that they sound the same.
And other than like a few of these nominees, most of these are nonsensical. Like, one of the only ones that really makes sense to me is Excellence in Narrative. Soma is being nominated because that game is purely about its story.
Excellence in like, animation makes sense.
But you mean the nominees in there?
No, I'm saying as in the actual award itself. Not so much I'm not talking actual nominees.
Well, I think that some of these awards are fine even though there's duplicates. I think some of them just need to be cut out. Like, I think that Excellence in Design and Art should not both be there.
Yeah. They're the same
neither
thing.
Visual achievement. I don't think narrative and character should be there because those are the same thing. I think musical score and sound effects are two separate categories. I think that's fair to say.
Yeah.
But like excellence in gameplay, excellence in multiplayer, and excellence in what is it? Just
convergence?
No. I think they just call it Game of the Year.
Yeah, they did.
It's just weird. I mean, it's so weird. I mean, South by Southwest is a very, in a nutshell, it's like this bit, it's like a convention that happens in Texas every year. And it's
Texas.
Like, it's a lot of things happen in Texas. I see.
I'm from Texas, so biased.
It's a film, interactive media, music, like gaming sort of festival. Takes place in Austin, and it just like it involves a lot of people. I remember hearing stories about people going there every year and talking about it. That's how I mostly know about it, mostly from the gaming side of things. In the movie Frunk, if you guys ever watched, that's a really weird indie film. They talk about going to South by Southwest as like their big break in the United States. To some people, this festival is a big deal. It is a definite like significant milestone for a lot of things, and you'd expect it to be better run than this. Like, this seems like very amateur. I hate to say it, but the V, 4chan's V, had a better like gaming like year award thing going on than this. At least in like the logic behind everything, it seemed to make more sense and it seemed to better represent the fan base. The breakup of these things, like excellence in technical achievement, is like Fallout 4. That game runs on that same engine that Bethesda has been using for years. It's the same, like, they didn't upgrade it, like, in any real capacity. The game is, like, horribly bugged to no end.
I like it, but it's horribly bugged. I love Fallout 4. I love the Fallout series. And right. I have been playing this game for, like, 13 hours a day, and it's fantastic, but it is so buggy. Like,
it's not a technical achievement.
Oh, yeah. Definitely not. That's, like, been my biggest... Because I know their past games have been buggy, but this one has been, like, I have to saves.
I mean, it's the scope is huge, and they did a lot, and it's, like, understandable considering how much is packed into the game. At least from the creation standpoint, like how much you can do with the towns and things like that.
Yeah.
But it's still not anything I would call a technical achievement.
And then it's also under visual achievement, which it's not really the most, like, to the eyes, sort of really nice looking game. Like, it's not a really,
pretty
game.
No, it's Bethesda has made games that are always under par in terms of graphics because
They're
jam-packed with a lot of other things. Usually the story is there. Another game that's on this list for technical achievement is The Witcher 3. And despite my feelings about The Witcher, I want to dispel this myth that I hear all the time about The Witcher being this, like, it's as big as GTA 5. Well, GTA 5 is like a vibrant living city, while most of The Witcher is countryside. So it makes sense that a smaller studio is able to make an equally large game in terms of distance as GTA 5, you know.
Fair.
Anyway, I'm sorry, I'm ranting about this a little bit too much.
You've done that before as well, I think, when it was first coming out.
It's a silly sort of thing.
Let the rage flow through you.
I'm sorry for those of you listening. We have some Zelda topics. Do you guys have any thoughts about this that you want to input that I haven't given you a chance to yet? Or
I don't know enough about it, so I can't really chime in too much. But
I hadn't actually heard
Undertale
of this
for game of the last 10 minutes
thing before Adam sent me this.
Well, it only went up recently, so the both of you, like, it doesn't, it makes sense that you're, like, a little bit, like, out of the loop on this one, because this one just, like, came out recently. It's not anything, it hasn't even had time to really settle yet.
Yeah. Well, I'm blaming it on my Australian no, like, you know, contact from the That's outer fine. World thing. But I don't really think her story is all that great, and I don't feel like it should have been nominated for excellence in narrative.
Mm-hmm.
But apart from that, the games themselves that have been nominated for the parts seem quite fitting in mm-hmm. some categories. Obviously, there's the outliers with Fallout 4 being in the weirdest categories, and Arkham Knight actually being qualified for an award. like, the one good thing in that game was the Joker, mm-hmm. and that's only because it was played by Mark Hamill, and he is excellent whenever he does anything ever, pretty much.
Absolutely.
I think I'm glad to see a lot of mention of Ori and the Blind Forest.
Yeah.
Because I feel like that one fell under the radar a lot for a lot of people.
Yeah, it really did. It was actually one of those really interesting games where I really loved it, and I was...
We actually made a reference to it, like, what was it? Like 30 episodes ago? 40 episodes ago?
Something like that.
And that was like the last
episode. It was Ozzy and the Blind Forest.
Yeah, Ozzy and the Blind Forest. And then I never heard of it again. Like, no one mentioned it. There was nothing online about
that
it.
That was an amazing reference.
And then it showed up again.
Yeah.
I love that so much.
It was interesting. It wasn't probably right. the best game I've ever played before, but I mean, it was pretty good.
Mm-hmm. But let's get on to some Zelda topics. I know it's a bit of a jump, but I feel like some people are kind of waiting for that. I might actually put a little thing for the first time. I might actually put a timestamp in the episode to come and say, like, Adam rants for this long, and then this is when the actual episode starts. So yeah, let's start with one of our fan topics. We got a bunch of fan topics this week on Twitter and through email. So thanks so much to everyone who sent in your fan topics, who emailed us. If you want to send in your own, you can feel free to send this to us on Twitter down below, or you can email this to us at ZeldaInformerPodcast@gmail.com. Once again, that's ZeldaInformerPodcast@gmail.com. I do read the comments for the episodes on Zelda Informer, but I'm not as likely to read them in question form as I am to just respond to them, because I always treat the comments in a different sort of light. But this first one comes from our friend Shane on Twitter, and he asks, what is your theory on Link's parents?
Dead.
I think they were excellent people, and I'm sure his mom was just gorgeous.
Just Jeff goes immediately morbid and goes dead. Just immediately.
Oh, definitely just... dead. Definitely.
there's no doubt about it, but he just doesn't even, like, skate around the topic. He's just... dead on, like, nail to hammer to nail, just immediately.
His parents or him? Yep. I feel like I was okay.
His parents.
Oh, okay,
just dead immediately. No skating around the topic at all.
But why do you think they're dead? I mean, in Ocarina of Time, it's explained, you know, the whole, like, the Civil War and everything. Mm-hmm. Mother carries him to the forest, gives him the.
I think
lets
when
a tree
Link was born,
him.
It's like. It's one of those things, like, with the more horrific versions of, like, the original versions of the angels, you know, from religion.
From religion. You're good friend. I feel like that was, like, the start of, like a slogan, like, religion. It's where angels come from.
So with the whole...
Anyway.
Angels that are, like, terrifying and melt your brains out. It was like that when Link was born, because he's,
eyes.
Like... Yeah, it was laser eyes. Angel laser eyes. You know what I mean.
I don't think I do, but you know, we'll take it. I think it's interesting. I think that with each one, it's always been sort of an interesting thing that they leave out. But I think it really does play into the character a little bit more. And Link to the Past and a few others, you know, usually you have your uncle.
Dang it, Adam.
That's taking care of you.
Dang it, Adam.
What?
That was what I was going to bring up. A Link to the Past, how his uncle was taking care of him instead of his parents. I was going to say some funny reference, but now I can't. Yeah. Now I can't. You ruined
and his
it.
Grandma. No. His grandma and Wind.
Yeah, and Wind Waker. Yeah. It's his grandmother. All so grandmas. He has a family. He's not just like this, like, misplaced child that was like left at Disney World or something.
We lost him. He's gone.
He's gone forever, honey. No, he's right over there. No. He's lost forever, honey. Just keep walking. Just keep walking towards the gates. Papa, can I have a Winnie balloon, Papa? Oh. A Winnie the Pooh balloon? No bother. But I think it's interesting because, you know, it kind of plays into this whole idea of growing up, getting back to my original, what I was talking about with the uncle, gets in this idea of, like, growing up without parents, you know, that, like, well, that doesn't really make much sense. I'll explain that better. Premise. the idea of, like, going out and adventuring on your own, unsupervised, you know, that childlike sense of adventure. It's not that, like, when you're a kid and you go out and you play, you pretend like you're, like, Spaceman Spiff. And it's not that your parents don't, like, you don't care about them anymore. It's just that in that moment, you don't think of them. You're just thinking about you as, like, this adventuring hero. So it kind of plays in the idea of, like, you know, your parents are fine, you know, whatever. But right now we're focusing on you as this, like, other kind of superhero character, yeah. You know?
Because, I mean, let's be honest. If his mom was around, he'd probably have a curfew and everything.
Yeah, no, he'd be able to fight evil. Ganon would just, like, come out at night. It's like Batman villains. They would just come out during the day, which I always found confusing. But Larry, you like the Batman, so you would know.
I do like the Batmans.
I love the Batman.
Did you say that the villains only come out at night?
And I'm saying that if, like, Link had a curfew, the villains would only come out at night and just be like, oh, well, he's not here now, so.
Well,
why not? Mom, I gotta fight the forces of darkness! Yes, sir, it's a school night, and yeah, I will be damned if my son is going out in the middle of the darkness and fighting giant pigmen. But Mom... Fine, Mom. I'm not going to speak until you let me go outside. Oh, really, Mister? You're going to do it? And that's how it started. That's the origin story of him not talking. Anyway, that's my theory on Link's parents.
Dead is dust. Dead is
pretty much.
Dead is a doornail.
Gonzo.
Jeff?
What?
Are you going to tell everyone your theory about how the Great Deku Tree is actually Link's dad?
I said deadsies. Like,
oh.
I thought that was clear. Like, his parents okay. are dead. Like, let me describe it to you in graphic detail. If you could out now, really. And then they take their butt and they throw them into the fire. And then they just, and then. And Link was left there alone, staring at the fire.
Jeff, that might have been the most brutal thing I've ever heard you say, and I don't know how to feel right now. So
Jeff,
let's move on to another.
I'm just a little bit scared of Jeff right now. I think I'm going to have to go a bit silent in this call.
Let's move on to one of our more tame fan topics. Liam on Twitter asks, favorite biscuit and why? Better question. I didn't know there were different kinds of biscuits.
Oh, man. I can start. My favorite type of biscuit is one that's buttery, crispy on the outside, but a little soft on the inside with apricot jelly.
I never liked apricot jelly.
What are you... Why?
No. Just it never appealed to me.
What about strawberry jelly?
Strawberry jelly's pretty good.
Raspberry?
Yeah, raspberry's okay.
You and your
Any
American
jelly
words.
That isn't grape, because I like to get out of my comfort zone a little.
Grape's the comfort zone.
Oh yeah.
I'm so confused right now. please explain.
Your favorite biscuit. Go.
I like Tim Tams.
Isn't that an Australian thing?
Yeah, it's like a little thing where it's like chocolate covered and it's got like this crunchy inside and like stuff.
Isn't that a cookie?
Feeling.
Ooh.
I don't know.
Are we establishing that cookies are biscuits? Because yeah, I know. Because some people call it biscuits, some people call it cookies. I don't understand. I'm gonna assume Liam is referring to cookies, and I'm gonna say snickerdoodle because I like the word snickerdoodle.
I like animal crackers dipped in yogurt with a little sprinkles. I mean, let's just talk about desserts, honestly.
Wait, seriously none of you have had Tim Tams?
I can
No, they don't exist in our country.
Okay, you need to put your addresses in this chat thing, and I'm going to send you all one of them, because they're really? Most okay. amazing things of all time.
I mean, I'll do like, this. I will actually send you my address.
They're brilliant. Like, they're God. Like, oh they're just the most all amazing right. things.
All right.
Yeah.
Jeff, anyway. What's your favorite biscuit?
My favorite.
Biscuit.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of biscuits, to be honest. I've had like the Chick-fil-A breakfast mm-hmm. biscuit thing that has chicken on it, and I like.
Did you get one
chicken.
Of those like free coupons?
No,
like the little cards.
I was meeting with this group for a little while, and like we meet mm-hmm. early in the morning on Thursdays.
Is it your AAA meetings?
Yes, my AAA meetings, and as part of motivation to be there / like making it comfortable, like. Our advisor always brought us Chick-fil-A biscuits, and I'm not gonna lie, I did really look forward to those.
I don't want to get out of bed, but a chicken biscuit sounds delicious.
So Luke, send me a single Chick-fil-A chicken breakfast biscuit or whatever it's called. Or a coupon. Whichever one's fine.
It's weirder than episode 66.
This is going to be, is this like...
Episode 75.
This is one of those episodes where it's like, how much are we going to have to edit this out?
I don't know how much we can. I guess we'll stray away from fan topics and back to news, because there is some really good news that I wanted to talk about this past week. Sakurai has finally put the body in the grave, the tombstone in the casket.
I thought you were going to say the nail in the coffin, but, you know, whatever.
No, I was trying to think of something clever and original. He put the
embalming fluid in the corpse.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that they don't get all gross.
He's officially said that the development cycle for Smash 4 has finally ended. And he thanks Super Smash Bros. Fans for ruining his life. I'm just kidding. He didn't actually say that. That'd be amazing, though.
That would be just he the should've. Greatest, like, go away. I don't want you here anymore. Just, yeah, I'm finishing Smash Bros. And it's all because of you. Now I'm going mm-hmm. home and crying myself to sleep.
He did say thank you to everyone who supported and followed the game. And he's happy that he can take an extended vacation. Probably forever. From Smash. Knowing how much he enjoys working on them at this point.
I will say, I really wish Cooking Mama would have been a fighter. That would have been excellent. I voted for her so many times. 100%
okay,
serious, dude.
Welcome to Smash Brothers, where the rules are made up and the votes don't matter.
Yeah, pretty much.
Here's Corrin. But I don't want him. You're getting him. Okay. But yeah, it's interesting. Because, you know, now the rumor mill is going to just start in the next couple months about working on the next Smash Brothers, who could it be, that sort of thing.
It's going to be a Game of the Year edition released on the NX when it launches, and it's going to be fantastic, and I'm going to be so pissed that I spent all that money on DLC for a game that's going to be
$60. And it's going to have Cooking Mama.
And it's going to have Cooking Mama, and it's going to
play
better.
It's
going to
be called Cooking Mama and Smash Brothers All-Stars Transformed.
cooking
Perfect,
cooking
10
with,
out of 10.
Cooking with Smash.
Yeah, pretty
Smash
much.
Bros.
That
cooking,
would be awesome.
Cooking with bros.
There'd be like
cooking
a mini,
mamas.
There'd be a mini game where you have to make a souffle while like fighting in the background.
That'd be odd, but I could see it happening.
You'd have to use the D-pad to cook the souffle while fighting mm-hmm. in the background using the joysticks.
Mm-hmm. That
would be the weirdest crossover ever, and I really want that.
Speaking of weird crossovers, Sonic the Hedgehog, Sega's announced that they're working on a movie coming in 2018.
Adam, fun fact. Can I go?
Yeah, no, I stopped.
Okay.
Everyone went quiet waiting for it and just didn't
I know, but I've done that before and then it's just like the call, whatever. I just wanted to check. Anyway. So I've been in charge of Gamnesia's Twitter for a little bit now, and whenever I've had the chance today and yesterday to tweet directly at the Sonic the Hedgehog official Twitter, and I really am trying to get them to respond to me, because yesterday, I think we posted about Sonic Runners being labeled a financial failure, and I used hashtag You're Too Slow, and I mm-hmm. thought that would work, and I don't think we got a response. And today for that one. For the one about the movie, I wrote hashtag mm-hmm. don't kiss the girl.
Oh my god.
I'm waiting. I really want them to respond to us.
I think they made already a joke about that in the past, about like, you know, everybody makes mistakes in life, and then it posts a picture of like sometimes you kiss a princess and that sort of thing.
Sometimes you kiss a princess and it's weird.
But apparently, you know, this is to celebrate the 25th anniversary that the reason they're working on this. It's going to be a mix of live action and CG. So
gotta go hayai, hayaku, hayaku. So excited. Not really, but I will still watch it because that will be a guess.
Because I'm trash.
Yes, because I'm absolute trash.
Yeah, we're trash together.
I wonder.
We'll be there, like, with our Sonic Cats.
What's going to be CGI and or whatever? What's going to be anime and what's going to be live action?
Sonic is going to be played by an actual blue hedgehog.
I want them to get a real hedgehog and just record it.
Yeah, Hollywood standards for hedgehogs has always been too high in the past.
Oh yeah.
I want real. This is not what a hedgehog looks like. This is a real hedgehog, Hollywood.
I liked what was it? On the Dreamcast with the little chows, right? The little blue things, and you feed them at like live animals and they become the animal.
Yeah.
That's great. That was my favorite part of the game.
That was a pretty good game.
Mini game.
Chow Gardens were great.
Oh, that's all I played it for. I didn't play it for anything else.
Yeah.
I just fed the chows.
But other really weird movies. Funny or Die made this very odd Donald Trump Art of the Deal movie with Johnny Depp playing Donald Trump. And it's 50 minutes long and I watched the entire thing. And I was just mesmerized the whole time.
So did I. I did not mean to watch the whole thing. But it's actually very funny. Go check it out if you haven't.
It's like, how do they make this movie so quietly under the radar? And it's like, all right, it takes mostly place in one room. Which is, I mean, it makes sense for how much, like, how secretive they had to keep this thing. For us to only find out the day it was released. No one has heard about this thing. This project wasn't talked about. Nothing. They just made a feature-length film and released it online. I think it's amazing.
It is incredible.
I didn't watch it or really understand it at all.
It's pretty
good. Your American humor.
Us Americans.
You're American. You're so cute.
But it's pretty fun. But for those of you who don't like the realm of realistic real worlds like Sonic and Donald Trump, we have some Deadpool news. Apparently, a sequel is already in the works.
Yes.
And the movie hasn't even been released. And you all are going to tell me tomorrow or today, whatever time you're listening to this, why that movie does or does not deserve a sequel. And I probably will have some opinions too, and Jeff will, and
I will. I am so excited for it. I'm seeing it tomorrow, and I am so happy.
Every white guy in the entire universe has a reason to don that Deadpool costume they bought one more time.
Okay, Deadpool's Marvel, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm not too familiar with Marvel stuff. I'm more of a DC person myself. It looks, I mean, it seems like it's going to be funny. I'm going to watch it. I am a little annoyed with, like, the trend of superhero movies lately. But, you know, whatevs. I'm excited to see it.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently Ryan Reynolds is going, well, that's inappropriate. But he's going full frontal. If you're a lady that likes Ryan Reynolds, or if you're a man that likes Ryan Reynolds, sweet deal.
Pretty sweet deal.
I'm not a massive fan of Marvel either, as you were saying before. I'm much more of a DC fan. I'm a massive fan of Batman. I've got pretty well every graphic novel ever of Batman, and I'm trying to get a big collection up of it. And I'm a massive fan of Deadpool, though. That's the thing. Like, despite my love for DC, Deadpool is like that one little Marvel thing that I really, really can't get out of. I'm so excited for Deadpool movie. Like, I have been since they announced it. So it's definitely worth checking out.
Oh, one thing I wanted to say about Deadpool 2 is it's going to be rated R, right?
Yes.
Yes.
That's one thing I am excited for, because I hate, I mean, I understand why a lot of movies do that, because it's a safer option, you reach a wider audience, whatever, but it really takes away from some of the materials that they have. Like, The Hunger Games absolutely should be a rated R movie.
Yeah.
But it's not. And so they sacrifice a lot of, like, really important and, like, heartbreaking scenes. And so, I don't know, I do like that Deadpool's going to be rated R. So that's one reason why I want to check it out, because, I mean, it's going to be as good as it can be.
I feel like almost shockingly, it's been doing really well. I mean, I guess it's not shocking, but it's been doing really well with reviews so far.
Yeah. Well, no, some of the reviews are kind of saying that it's like, I don't know, the reviews have been mixed as far as I've seen.
Oh. Yeah. Well, it's either gotten really high that good.
Or it's saying really that it's kind of bland in what it does.
Yeah, but...
But they're not saying that it's bad. They're just saying it. They don't really like it. I don't know. It's odd.
I think the main thing is they're not looking at the source material. From the reviews that I've read, they're looking at the movie itself and saying, oh, this character acts a bit weird. They're pretty much describing the character and shitting on the character itself, not so much the movie. And they're sort of saying, like, This movie is bad because this character is bad, more or less. And I feel like they're, a bit biased towards the movie, or B, they haven't actually seen the source material and seen how their actual character reacts and acts in the source material. So the comic books or the graphic novels or whatever you want to take from that. The way he acts in the comic books, I've heard from reviews and a friend of mine which has seen it because they got box office tickets. He acts like he does in the comics.
Right.
And that's not particularly a bad thing.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. I feel like we're talking a little bit much about this topic. I want to kind of switch gears back to Zelda if you guys, if that's cool with you guys.
We have one of our fan topics. Loved ones for Valentine's Day. Super romantic.
Oh yeah, Valentine's Day is this this week.
Yeah, it's
oh wow,
3 days away, I think.
Yeah, it's crazy to think. This topic comes from one of our fans via email, and his name is Brian. Hey Adam and others, love the show. My question for you guys is, prior to the Zelda timeline being confirmed, did you guys have any theories on the timeline? You don't need to go game by game, but in general. For example, I always felt the NES games came decades or centuries after the flooding of Hyrule, as the land became deflooded and attempted to be rebuilt. It sort of explains the town names in Zelda 2 being the names of the sages from Ocarina of Time, as there might be names passed down over time, but the original meaning forgotten. Thanks, Brian. Thank you so much for your topic, Brian. If you have any of your own fan topics, cover art, suggestions, anything like that, feel free to send this to us at ZeldaInformerPodcast@gmail.com. Once again, that's ZeldaInformerPodcast@gmail.com. By the way, if this episode sounds a little strange, I'm sorry. My computer keeps freezing. It might cut into how long this episode is. It might make it a little bit weird. Might make it seem a little bit out of place. The guys have been very helpful. So thank you to Jeff, Lara, and Luke for really sticking through with me with this. I have no idea what's happening. It's freaking me out. But we're going to stick through it. We're going to be fine. But yeah, his question is, you know, where do we think that these names, or where do we think these games fall in the timeline generally, without concerning the actual timeline? You know, what do you guys have in terms of thoughts on that?
Well, I think Zelda 1 is first, and then the others follow. I mean, I think one of the key difficulties here is, like, you have to exclude Skyward Sword, because it wasn't out before the timeline was released. And that's kind of a weird one, because, like, that one's so obviously in a certain spot on the timeline.
Right.
Besides for that, I mean, honestly, I don't think I'd ever have thought about the split in it. And I just sort of would have sat there. I think I would have just sat there and struggled and been like, I'm gonna guess that Wind Waker is the furthest down the line because nowhere else has water.
Yeah, no, I would have said that, like, Ocarina of Time and Wind Waker came, like, much after, like, much, much later in the timeline because of all that stuff. I would have thought that maybe Zelda 1 and 2 came, like, right before Ocarina, because, you know, there's mentions of war and things like that going on in Ocarina, like, previous titles. So, like, I would imagine that's where it came from. And I would have put probably it would have been like something like Zelda 1, 2, Ocarina, Majora, Twilight Princess, Wind Waker. It would have been in that sort of order.
That seems about right. I would probably have generally put Wind Waker first, and then as the water sort of regressed, sort of more towards like...
Then you get to Spirit Tracks?
Yeah, stuff like that.
The new continent becomes what is Hyrule?
Yeah. And then move on to probably 1, 2, that sort of stuff, like moving
Why
on
not
to
the You have like games like Minish Cap and Four Swords, like that would be like that would fall right underneath that, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, pretty much. So okay. I never really looked into the split timeline thing. Mm-hmm. I pretty much just looked at it as a pretty much just a download line. So say I went Wind Waker, the ocean regressed, and then it moved on to Zelda 1, I believe it would have been.
Okay.
Probably Minish Cap and those sort of smaller GBA games. And then probably moving on to more of the Zelda 1, Zelda 2, Ocarina of Time, and then Majora's Mask, and then Twilight Princess. Sort of, you know, in that
basic. Yeah, it's...
I never really thought too much about it until they actually released the timeline, and I was like...
The split timeline, I think, was probably the thing that took most fans for a loop. I think I saw one mention of it before that. Like, there was one very popular theory before the official timeline came out that mentioned the idea that maybe there's, like, a split at some point. But I never accepted it as fact until it became fact. But yeah, this is a very interesting topic. I really enjoyed thinking about it. Do you guys have anything else to add to it? Go for it.
One thing I think I've thrown out to a few other people, especially in like our staff discussions about like the timeline. Do you think that they'll change it again, like officially change the timeline? Because like, while I feel like it's kind of it's important to the fan base and the fan base like appreciates having it. One, there are people who like disregard it and are like, well, this part's wrong and this part's wrong and this doesn't meet with what was previously established. And two, I feel like if the timeline gets in the way of a game making sense, they'll change the timeline rather than like force the game to fit the timeline. So do you think they'll change that for like, and not necessarily Zelda U, but another
title? The way they wrote the Hyrule Historia was to set up that sort of idea that this can be changed. I think Onoma himself has said that the Hyrule Historia is, I think it says in the book he's written that it's like, this is not concrete set in stone. Things can change in the future because they thought that maybe they will change things and add and mend and correct things later down the line.
Yeah,
it's the same thing with like the Metal Gear Solid series is the same thing. There's things that are retconned and changed much later in games that are technically prequels. It makes a bit of a mess, but in the end, there is a logic to it.
I feel like probably as they add more games to the timeline, the timeline will obviously change, making it so that the games will fit in with the timeline specifically. So say Zelda U is set just after Skyward Sword. I'm not saying it is. I don't know if it is. I haven't really looked too much into it because I don't want to. But say it is set straight after Skyward Sword, they would move the timeline around a bit to fit Zelda U in, maybe enhancing the lore behind the timeline and changing it a little bit to make it slightly more in-depth and all that sort of stuff. I feel like as they add more games to the series and add more games to the timeline, that timeline will obviously become more set in stone and obviously a bit different. It will never be the same thing when they add a game. It will always be changed because the lore in that game will address different things.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those things. I don't think they're going to change it too much. I feel like
it's... Right, no. I think it's set up just as like a safeguard in case they do want to change things.
Yeah.
It won't cause too much of a stir.
Yeah, yeah. But apart from that, I don't feel like they're going to change it too much because I feel like a lot of fans agree with it now. Like, there's not too many people that go, "Oh, this is wrong or that's wrong." Like, there's a lot of people that agree with it now. So I feel like changing it in the end would prove to make it so it's not as overly liked as most people like it, I feel. If that makes sense. I don't think it does, but good enough.
I don't think I have anything really else to add on this topic, because there's a lot we could say, but it's me repeating myself. Without going like really into specifics,
it hurts my brain.
I think I've explained myself.
Yeah, pretty much.
Before we get into more Zelda topics, I kind of want to throw this out there, because this is really cool, and I think even Lyra's going to appreciate this. The Pokemon Company has released on Pokemon TV, their online streaming service, Pokemon the First Movie.
Yeah.
As free to download. So if you're interested, you can go watch it right now online.
I am so excited. I actually have a great memory with that movie.
Mm-hmm. Free to stream.
Oh, it's not free.
It's not
free. Stream.
Yeah, if it was free to download, like I would be free to stream so fast.
No, that's what I said. It's free to stream. If it was free to download, that'd be insane.
Yeah, well, I think they have remastered the first three movies and like re-released them, and they're also on Blu-ray. Mm-hmm. And I'm like really happy, because I'm like, you mean the good ones?
Yeah. Oh,
goodness. I have a really great memory with that movie. I was watching it with my cousins, and I was really tiny at the time. And one of my cousins,
as opposed
like,
to now when you're just pretty tiny.
I'm big. I'm 7'7". So, anyways, I was watching it with my cousin, and he was like 4 years older than me.
Mm-hmm.
And spoiler alert, the very end, the very depressing scene with Ash and all the Pokemans.
That movie came out in 2000. I think you're alive. For 1999.
Did that movie come out earlier than that?
I think it came out earlier than that.
It came out in 1999.
Anyways, you know what? Spoiler alert. Ash goddamn dies. And all the Pokemans are crying. And Pikachu's like, Pika Pika. And it was an awful scene, but I didn't really understand death too much. And I looked at my cousin, and he was just in tears. And I was like, oh, you nerd. You're such a loser. And now watching it, it is quite sad. But I always thought that was a really weird thing to show kids. Like, if you cry just hard enough, that person you care about will come back to life.
Oh my God.
I guess you're just not crying hard enough, Billy. Cry harder. It's just like,
oh my God.
It's an awful, but it's a great movie. Thank you, Adam, for that news. I'm excited.
I'm glad you like it. Our next fan topic that I want to bring up comes to us from Mike. Mike emailed us, and he asked, "Hey guys, love the show." That's not a question. "I was thinking recently about ways Nintendo could implement customization into Zelda Wii U. An idea I think may be simple, yet still give us a player's more choice in our own playthrough of the game, is to be able to choose the appearance of Link's horse. I imagine it happening in a way where you don't start with a horse, but early on you choose and tame a wild horse from among a group of wild horses. What do you guys think about this idea, and do you have any suggestions on how to possibly expand on it? Thanks, Mike." Thank you so much, Mike, for your fan topic. If you have any of your own, feel free to send those to us at ZeldaInformerPodcast@gmail.com. Once again, that's ZeldaInformerPodcast@gmail.com. You can also send those to us on Twitter down below. And I am working on making sure I can say that even faster in the future. it's a personal record of mine to just say that in 1 second and be comprehensible.
Legit.
But yeah, I like this idea a lot. This idea of having wild horses and you get to choose your opponent from there.
I'm sort of imagining almost a Red Dead Redemption-esque mechanic where you have the lasso and stuff and you, like, rein in a horse and you can choose your first horse that you have, which would obviously end up being a Pona. But if in times they feel like horses, they want to take a Pona away, you can just sort of take wild horses and go with that as well.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a small thing, but I think it does really, like, go a long way. Because I definitely love stuff like that. Anytime I get to pick my own, I'm like,
well, it would be interesting because in the game trailers we've seen, Link is like jumps off his horse and fires his crossbow or fires his bow. And I think it'd be interesting to have different kinds of horses for different kinds of Zelda players. You could have one that's like more for like combat fighting, one that is actually more for like melee fighting, another one that's more for like traveling and speed, you know. Different, like, sort of, like, stats, I guess you could say. Not really something that has to be so out in the open, but different stats that are kind of hinted at and then mentioned. And, you know, you kind of choose a horse that fits you, like, one that's more bulky, one that's more slim, one that's more, like, long or stocky or something like that. And I think it'd be cool for Zelda players to, you know, kind of get that experience of choosing their own horse or be able to, like, customize it with neat knickknacks.
Pick my horse.
I want to
put a hand on my horse!
Like, chow.
You can, like, put gold chains and stuff on it.
I'm put a top hat on.
Hey, my name's Exhibit, and I'm going to pimp your horse.
We put a flat screen LCD on your horse. Why would you do that? It's very heavy.
Kill me.
My horse dehydrated now.
Gosh. No, that. But I love that idea. That
the electric outlet is plugged into his butt. Yeah, no, I think it'd be cool because it would, like, you kind of have to earn your horse. You have to, like, go and, you know, round him up and, like, do the whole, like, stallion breeding thing, like, where you need a stallion taming thing where you have to, like, ride it and make, like, you know, stay on it so it, like, learns to accept you. I think it'd be cool.
Yeah, that, I feel like that would really work with the sort of idea of Legend of Zelda as well, with it being this sort of really big adventure. I feel like that would really work with it.
Ocarina of Time, what it does right is it makes you earn your horse. Like, you don't just, like, you know, oh, here's a horse, here's a pony, there you go. You know, it's like, you have to race for it, win, and then you have to steal it.
Pretty well. Like, you immediately form that bond with the horse.
Yeah, you feel like you didn't just, you know, get it. You feel like you earned it as a player. You feel like you deserved Epona. And that's good. And that's how a player should feel. They should feel like they earned and they deserve things, as opposed to feeling like, you know, like, oh, the game just gave me this. Or, you know, or the game didn't give me this, which is even worse.
Yeah. Saying that, I feel like they could eventually end up going a bit too far with that mechanic. I just sort of thought of almost...
Oh, like a whole, like, horse minigame thing where you're, like, training your horse and stuff?
Yeah, like, it would end up becoming, like, a hassle. I feel like eventually if they made it so that, you know, it was a reoccurring thing where either your horse had to be upgraded or something like that, I feel like it would end up being way too much of a hassle. Almost like Mad Max, where they focus way too much on the car combat and nothing else. And I feel like if that was a thing, then it would eventually end up becoming very much of a hassle, whereas not so much of a fun thing to do or a background thing to do. It would become much more of a focused thing to do, sort of like the resident places in Fallout 4, where people ended up not even playing the main game; they just
Spend like 4 hours working on building.
I am completely guilty of that. I made a really nice civilization.
Yeah, I know.
It's impressive.
You fortified Sanctuary, even though it means nothing. The other thing I wanted to talk about, there are a few topics I don't think we're going to get to this episode, but it's fine.
They're rollover episodes.
One of the things I wanted to get to, since we didn't talk about what we've been playing this past week, I wanted to just mention briefly, once again, that I'm playing D&D on Fridays now, on my channel, streaming it every Friday. We did a fantastic stream last week. A bunch of you came out, and we had a good time. We had like a 4 or 5 hour long stream. It was funny.
Rumor has it there was a puppy.
All right. And you can hear about my adventures as Hoppar the Goblin King. And if you don't know what that means, then you'll find out when you watch it. The first stream is still archived, so if you did miss it, you're in luck. You can still go and watch it. It is a bit long, but it's worth it. So I definitely recommend it. Have you guys been playing anything this past week?
No, not really.
I've been playing Fallout 4 every day, and I need sleep. Pretty badly.
I mean, I've mainly just been recording for my channel. I've been trying to get a backlog up because I've been feeling a bit sick recently, so I want to try and get a backlog up before it sort of sinks in.
Alright. Before we kind of send off, because this is going to be a little bit shorter of an episode than usual, I wanted to mention one last thing. Gabe Newell recently gave out at the Unity's Vision VR and AR Summit in Hollywood, California. Gabe Newell announced that Valve and Unity are joining forces to make developing games for SteamVR easier. He is announcing extra tools inside of the Unity's developed platform and a rendering plugin that should improve performance for games on Steam's VR. The interesting thing about this was he pulled an Oprah and he was like, "Look under your seats! HTC Vives for everyone!" And it was hilarious.
Yeah, like, it was the reaction to the actual audience itself was awesome as well. Like, it literally felt like an Oprah moment. He's just like, "And you get a HTC VR, whatever the hell, and you get a HTC VR." It was just awesome. Like, it was like one of those things that you just go, was this planned? Like,
yeah,
did he just come on screen and go, I'm gonna do this today, or did he just like sort of, you know, go, I feel like doing an Oprah. Like,
does he wake up and think, man, I should do an Oprah today?
Yeah, just like, I'm going to give back to the good little developers that support me. I'm going to be that one person that's like Santa Claus. Just wake up in the morning, and the bad developers like EA get coal, and you know, it's just like the good little developers get the little HTC VR, and then the bad ones get coal. Just screw the bad developers.
Before we go, I want to mention something that's kind of a little sad. Game Trailers is closing up shop after 13 years. The website started in about 2002, late 2002. And it's been a good source for game trailers and other information about new games that are coming out. So it's sad to see them go. I wish everyone that worked there the best. I mean, it was purchased 2 years ago by Defy Media, and it seems a little bit strange about how this happened, because everyone that worked there found out just about the same time that we did. There were two layoffs that happened in the past couple of years. This one was just kind of out of nowhere.
That's really rough.
Yeah, no. That's Game Trailers helped in their own way pave the way for online gaming content. So for that, I thank you. This has been episode 75 of the Zelda Informer Podcast. It was a little bit of a rocky episode. A lot of freezing, a lot of crashing. I'm going to try to get this wrapped up before my computer explodes. But I want to thank Lyra, Jeff, and Luke for joining me. It was a lot of fun having you guys. Lyra, let's make sure that this isn't your only episode.
Oh, man. I want to be back, so I hope so.
Good to hear. But other than that, thank you guys for joining us. Hope to see you again next week. Watch the streams, twitch.tv/ABC Milkman. There's going to be one this Friday. Hope you watch it. If not, it's going to be in the archives. D&D, it's fun. Adam, Jeff, Luke, Lyra.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Hey! Have a nice night.
No!
I'm sorry. Watch out!